Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, you want that to go?
And for our first takeout, John, I want you to guess where this particular piece of tape was recorded.
Oh, it's Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton. Whoa, on Capitol Hill.
I was thinking maybe the Cannes Film Festival. Actually, that is Elena Kagan arriving at Capitol Hill to meet with members of the Senate there. She met with some very powerful senators. We're joined now by Todd Zwillick. And Todd, I remember when you were covering the Sotomayor meetings as well, and you referred to this whole process as senatorial speed dating.
Oh, yeah. And that's pretty much what it is on these sort of ritual early meets. The nominee is named and then has to go up on Capitol Hill for a series of photo ops and meets with all of the senators who will cooperate in deciding her fate. So she started with the Senate leadership and then on down the Judiciary Committee yesterday. That sound you were hearing yesterday was, I think, from outside when we were outside the office of Harry Reid, and then on to Mitch McConnell and then Pat Leahy, chairman of Judiciary, and then six or seven other senators. A real full day for her.
So what is the purpose of this? Is this just basically just photo ops, as you said, or is there some concrete discussions going on?
Well, really, it's both. You know, for us in the press, when you hear that crush and all those clicks going off those shutters, they really are just photo ops, and it's kind of a pro forma ritual. I'll give you that. But then once we get shunted out of the room and she meets with the senators, these meetings can be very substantive. She met with Republican Jeff Sessions, the senior Republican on the Judiciary Committee, for over an hour, and he came out and said that discussion was very substantive. He said that they covered some of the issues that Republicans are starting to have a real problem with. For instance, her decision when she was dean of Harvard Law School to exclude military recruiters from campus, which Republicans consider anti-military. They consider it basically unconstitutional, and they have a real problem with it. And Sessions came out later and talked to us about it. Listen to this.
It seems to me a little bit out of touch that you think you could disagree with the legal policy of the military. I think indicates some of the dangers of being in the rarefied atmosphere of the academy.
Some might argue about the rarefied atmosphere of the Congress, right?
Indeed. 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 And these rituals are really sort of part of the rarefied atmosphere of Congress. But to go back to the question, these meetings can be highly substantive. Pat Leahy, who's chairman of Judiciary, said his meeting with Kagan was highly substantive. He said he covered with her a lot of the issues that have been in the press about her, the campus military issue, her view of the Constitution, whether or not she could be apolitical since she worked in the Clinton White House, since she worked since she was a political appointee of Barack Obama. And he also admitted that there's criticism from the left that's going to have to address on Elena Kagan's record on minority hiring. He said they had a substantive discussion about that. Leahy came out after and talked to us about that one, too.
You know, we're going to see a lot of different groups who have concern for their members of those groups. And that's going to be a legitimate question at the hearing, and it will be asked.
Okay, that's Elena Kagan meeting with a number of people in Congress. I imagine that regardless of what meetings go on, there'll be more photo opportunities in the future, and Todd Zwillick will be there.
Hey, Todd, I was looking at the paparazzi pictures of Kagan yesterday, and yeah. you didn't make it into any of them.
Oh, that's actually not true. I made it into a couple, John.
Oh,
but
snap, Hockenberry.
Washington Post.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent.
All right. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is here, Takeaway sports contributor. And a pretty important psychological contest came to an end on the hockey ice last night. Explain what happened. The Montreal Canadiens knocked off the Pittsburgh Penguins on their way to the Stanley Cup.
So for the first time in 17 years, the Montreal Canadiens have reached the Eastern Conference Finals. And they did it last night by beating the defending champion Pittsburgh Penguins 5-2. They did this after they beat the top seed. So they're the eighth seed in this playoffs. They beat the top seed, the Washington Capitals, in their first round game, and they beat them. So they've knocked off the best team in hockey and also the other team that many people considered the team that was going to win once the Capitals got knocked out. So now you can argue that they could be one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup.
Where does their momentum come from, the Canadiens, do you think? Because, as you say, they had the worst record coming into the playoffs.
So it comes in a couple ways, but just their play. Obviously, they have the spirit of the Montreal Canadiens, which are an iconic team. But they also, Yaroslav Halak, who's the goalie, has been an incredible difference maker. But also this guy, Michael Camilleri, who scored 12 goals in the playoffs. That's the most goals for a Canadian since Guy Lafleur in 1975. So they're not only getting it on the offensive end, but and on the defensive end, but they're getting it on the offensive end as well.
You know, there's a similar psychological battle taking place in the NBA playoffs.
Correct.
And it's down to the wire for the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics, the iconic team of the NBA in some ways, certainly of the East. Looks to wind this contest up.
Well, after Rajon Rondo, the point guard for the Celtics, decimated the Cleveland team, LeBron James said, I want to take him. I want to guard him. Well, he did that, and what happened? The other big three, the other players for the Celtics, came up big. So now the Cleveland has to wonder, how are they going to stop all four of the Celtics' guns in what the Celtics consider a Game 7 tonight, which is Game 6, at the Celtics' home court?
Well, it's not an ensemble team, the Cavaliers. They can't play unless LeBron is absolutely on the top of his game. I think that any time he scores less than like 29 points, it's either a squeaker or they lose. LeBron's playing desperate. It seems like this is a choke.
I agree, he is playing desperate, and a lot of folks think that that it's a better plan if he loses than he's going to potentially go to some other team, perhaps New York. I actually think the opposite. I think that LeBron James has to win a championship in Cleveland before he can even think about going anywhere else. And funny enough, in New York, there's a website just launched called GetLeBron.com that's kind of getting all these old Knick greats and all these other people trying to get him here. But he's not going to go anywhere until he wins a championship, and I'm not sure that's going to happen this year.
So Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen says that LeBron James is unemployable unless he wins an NBA championship.
Well, he doesn't. He won't have the resume.
All right. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor. We're going to talk about whether LeBron James, if he does become unemployed at the NBA, can be retrained for a job he's not obsolete for. Obsolete employment coming up.